You're listening to Next Stop CPA, the official podcast for the CPA exam, brought to you by the AICPA.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to another episode of Next Stop CPA. Today, we're speaking with Jessica Gray, Content Lead Manager of the AICPA Exams Team, and Sarah Sullivan, Senior Manager of Business Services and Outsourcing at BDO. Jess and Sarah, you guys go back quite a ways and actually have a connecting story of how you decided to get into becoming CPAs. Want to tell us a little bit about you, your career trajectories, and how your CPA stories connect?
Hi, yeah, thank you for having us. My name is Jessica Gray, as Lauren mentioned. I began my world of accounting at a public company. I was there for 3.5 years, and then I moved on to industry accounting and spent 6 years there. And now I'm at the AICPA, which I've been at for over 6 years now. As Lauren mentioned, my title is content manager. So basically, I review and help write questions for the financial accounting and reporting section of the CPA exam. Cool. I don't know, Sarah, would you like to give your background?
Sure. Yeah. So I started my career at one of the big four. I was there for 8 years. And then I moved into industry and I worked at Marriott International doing corporate accounting for almost 4 years. And then I jumped back into public accounting and I joined BDO and I'm in their business service and outsourcing practice. And I basically am an outsourced CFO for various clients, mostly nonprofits. So that's my story. That's where I'm at today. And I guess, Lauren, one of your other questions was how Jessica and I, how our story intertwines, right? And how we met.
Yeah, so you guys go back a ways. I mean, your careers have taken different paths, but you've been friends since way back in the day. And your CPA stories seem like they start out in similar places.
Right.
Yep. You want to tell them, Sarah?
So yeah, sure. So Jessica and I were, we went to college together. We went to Virginia Tech, go Hokies. Our junior, it was the summer before our senior year of college. We did summer school together. We wanted to have lighter senior years so we could enjoy the full college experience our last year. And so we met and bonded over accounting, right? We had several accounting courses together that summer and that senior year. We kind of suffered through it all together. And then she got married, moved to Boston ultimately, and I moved up to DC, and we kind of started our careers in accounting there. And we actually decided around the same time to pursue the CPA exam. So we were in the trenches together doing.
Well, Sarah, you actually started before me, if you remember. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do as far as becoming a CPA. I don't know if you remember, but we actually had the opportunity to field test the computerized exam, which makes, I'm aging us a little bit, but that's okay. So back in 04, when Sarah and I graduated, they field tested the computerized version of the CPA exam at Virginia Tech. And I sat for it, and it very much was a lot to.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Did you do it? Do you remember?
I do. Yeah. That's crazy. That's going back a bit, but yeah.
Yeah.
So what prompted you guys to consider the CPA from the start?
Well, for me, it was seeing my best friend honestly sit for it and be successful. And so I guess, Sarah, we should start with you then. Why did you decide to sit for the CPA exam?
Wow, that's pretty heavy, Jess. Thanks for that compliment. But so when I started at the Big Four, you know, it was a big push. It was understood that to get anywhere in the firm, you had to get your CPA exam, you know, and so that was a huge driver. But also I saw what doors the CPA exam could open for me. You know, if I ever left the Big Four and wanted to do industry, I thought it would be a great thing to have on my resume. It would really have people take me seriously in the accounting world. So I knew it was important and I had to pursue it. I was scared out of my mind because all I had heard was that it was crazy intense, and that computerized exam probably scared me even more, the test exam that we took. But I felt the drive and desire to do it. So I took off pretty soon after I graduated college. I started taking it.
So after college, I basically moved home and quickly got engaged. So I wasn't quite focused on sitting for the exam. I kind of wanted to get my feet wet with the company I was at, and you know, figure out life at first and see, you know, what I really wanted to do. Did I want to stick with accounting? Did I want to be a CPA? And so I kind of spent that next year planning my wedding, getting married, and then watching Sarah, you know, sit for it and passing and doing really well motivated me then to say, oh, I need to do this. There were also some people at my firm as well that had started sitting and were passing. So that was a huge motivator. But I think seeing my best friend, who we'd spent, you know, accounting classes together, do well. Not that I didn't think you would do well, Sarah. It's just, you know, it was great seeing her do so.
Can I interrupt you? Because I'm pretty sure what she really thought was, well, heck, if Sarah passed it, I can pass it. Let's be honest.
No, not true. Not true. So seeing her pass it, I was like, you know what, let's give it a go.
But it must have been reassuring for you guys to sort of be in the trenches together, because I feel like that's something people who aren't in that mode really get, how much time it takes to commit, and, you know, plans you might not be able to be part of with friends and family.
Yeah. What's the saying? Misery loves company.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I knew somebody else was suffering through it with me. Somebody else was sacrificing their nights and weekends for this. And it was like, well, you're not alone. You're doing this together, and you're going to get through it together. So,
yeah. I mean, we were in different states at the time, but we were constantly calling, oh, did you study all weekend? Yes, you too. Yes. And then, you know, when the scores would come in, we'd be calling each other to, you know, find out how each other did. So, that alone was good support to have. So,
yeah, the support is definitely key. And that's something we definitely stress with, you know, part of a larger exam strategy is know your resources, rely on your support network. How about obstacles? Did you run into any major, you know, issues that you considered or that you actually encountered while you were pursuing the license?
Well, for me, I would say my biggest obstacle was just time management and, you know, figuring out when I needed to study, right, Sarah? Like, it was like, that was, became your life. You know, I didn't have kids yet. I had a husband, but, you know, he could fend for himself for the most part. For me, it was, you know, carving out that time. And I actually went to my boss and asked for, you know, time in the afternoon to leave a little early. And I would go straight to the library and study all night long, basically till like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And then I would go and spend the whole weekend. So, you know, it's really just managing your time for me, I would say were my biggest obstacles.
Yeah, I would agree. That was the hardest part, especially when you're younger and you're taking the CPA exam, like just out of college, you know, living it up. You want that social life. You want the ability to hit up the gym. You want your personal life not to be impacted. So, but you got to realize it takes the work, and you've just got to make sure you put in the time and the evenings and the weekends, whatever you need to do.
So my brother-in-law just recently passed the CPA exam, and he has a son, and I talked to him and I asked him what his strategies were in studying for the CPA exam. And he said, Sarah, honestly, you know, I got to work extra early. I got to work like 2 hours earlier than normal, so I could get in my full 12 hours during busy season. And then I would study at work for 2 hours. And then I would go home, get my son to bed, and then go back to studying. And he's like, it just took the effort. And I had a supportive wife, but, you know, I had to sacrifice some time. And I was there during important moments like bedtime and dinner, but I just put in the work.
I guess it's keeping your eye on the prize long-term, right?
Yeah. And consistency too, right? Like, I was like, if I even took a day off that I wasn't supposed to. It's kind of like when you go to the gym and you make it part of your plan. For me, that's how it was for the exam. Like, it's a planned out, thought out, you know, way of doing it. And that strategies like that are so important to my, especially to my success.
I imagine it teaches you to stay very disciplined when you're studying.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one test I was taking right after July 4th, and I did not go out during that, you know, vacation time. I stayed in and studied. Yeah.
And did you
guys... I would have planned around that. I would have been like, July 4th, I want to stay out and watch some fireworks. You know, I would have probably done, but good for you, Jess. That's amazing. That's dedication.
I would say, you know, the difference between you and I too with this, our study plan, is I was nervous about the I know you were nervous about the 18 months too, but I was so nervous about the 18 months that I was like, I want to get as many done as quickly as possible so that I can rearrange whatever I need to, if we get, even if I start to get close to 12 months, to like reevaluate my plan. So like that was, for me, studying over July 4th wasn't an option based on kind of my trajectory of where I saw my exam process like falling out.
And during that 18-month window, did you guys plan your sections in a particular order? Because that's a common question we get from candidates is there a right order to take the exam?
Yeah, Sarah, you can take that on first.
Yeah. I mean, it's personal preference. For me, I thought I was intimidated by the exam when I started, and I just wanted a boost of confidence. So I looked at all of the exam sections, and I identified the one that was, quote unquote, the easiest. And that's the one I tackled first because I needed to see a passing score to know that I could do it and get it done. I know a lot of other people like to get the hardest one out of the way first, just so they can say, hey, it's done. It's in the rear view. But I thought tackling the easiest one first to get that boost of confidence was my approach and what worked for me.
Yeah. That was basically the same. And it's funny because I actually get this question a lot working at the, you know, on the exam and, you know, doing presentations. I would definitely say it's very personal on how you choose, but I was the same boat for me. I was doing audit work, so I wanted to take audit first just because I was, you know, hoping out of the gate I'd pass it and then I could just move on because I didn't want to feel like, oh, okay, I've got to go back and study it. Most of my plan was pass one, see how I did before I moved on to the next, just to make sure if I had to re-review that material, it would still be in my head and I wouldn't have to start fresh again. So that was, you know, my goal.
And did you guys encounter any sort of moments of discouragement, maybe not passing all four on the first try, but you kind of stuck with it and eventually got there?
Yeah. I mean, I passed audit, luckily, the first time, which gave me the motivation to keep going. But then when I went to take the second one, which was right after 4th of July, I didn't pass it, which was so sad for me. I was so sad because I'd given myself that time to study over 4th of July. So I was like, why am I doing this? Is it worth it? But, and I guess this kind of was my luck, total luck here, I ended up taking the reg section soon after the BEC section. So I was the one rule I broke was I needed to try and get two within the same window so that I could try and make it by 12 months. And I moved forward to study reg before I knew if I passed or failed BEC. And when I saw that I failed BEC, it was a hard moment to keep going with reg, but I did. And thank goodness I passed reg the first time. So then I could go back. Yeah, it was a little bit of luck there, but you kind of have to, you know, trust your instincts, I think. And that's obviously hard to say, but it's possible.
No, maybe it was like a momentary setback. And then you were like, you know what? Okay, so that's some bad news, but I'm going to push through. And you focused extra hard on reg to make sure you passed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Imagine it's like an emotional roller coaster almost during those 18 months, you know, just like these extreme highs and extreme lows and that anticipation of getting your score.
Yeah. And especially when you put all that time and effort into it, it's certainly that. Sarah, I don't know if you want to add anything as far as, you know, your process, any letdowns or whatever you might have had.
I failed one. I failed regulation the first time. And I wasn't that shocked because I had passed two at that point and I was overly confident and I didn't study enough and I knew I hadn't. And I went in and I was like, well, here you go, Sarah, you need to study the same level for everything. You can't get overly confident. Mm-hmm. But I do remember one specific time my husband was actually taking the CPA exam at the same time I was. And he was knocking them out of the park, like getting over 90s on all of them. And then he had passed FAR, which was one of the more difficult ones. And I was about to take it. It was my last one. And he had gotten like a 95. And I was like, if my husband beats me at this and I fail this, I am going to lose it. So I remember distinctly calling Jessica and just crying. And she was just so empathetic and said, Sarah, you're going to do this. You're going to pass this. You need to put in the effort. You need to put in the time. And that was just a great moment in our friendship where, you know, she was so supportive of me during the CPA exam. And she probably could be because she was doing it at the same time. She understood, you know, my nerves and my anxiety and, you know, me being frustrated. So
yeah, sure. I do remember. I mean, thank God my husband's not in accounting because I don't think I could have handled that competition.
And so fast forward however many years later since you guys took the exam and passed, do you find that it was all worth it? Do you find that it really has helped your careers?
100%.
Yeah.
Hands down. I mean, it's opened doors and given me opportunities I never knew it would. I mean, at first I was like, oh, you know, it's great to have your CPA, you know, obviously knowing that for the future it's great, but I wouldn't have the job I have today if I was not a CPA. Like, I literally would not be able to be hired here, which at the AICPA, this is one of the coolest jobs I've ever had. I know Sarah knows I nerd out and tell her about it and how cool it is. So for me, it was 100% worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same. I have moved around a lot. Well, not a lot. I've had 3 jobs, but I've interviewed a lot of candidates for my direct reports. And the first thing I look at is on their resume. I'm like, is there a CPA exam? Do I see, in this resume that they're pursuing the CPA exam, i.e. they've passed a couple parts. You know, that's something that's so critical to me. If I'm interviewing them, they don't have the CPA exam, they don't have a mention that they're working on it, I ask, I'm like, where are you with the CPA exam? Because I need to see, it just shows a level of effort and dedication to yourself and your own personal growth that I think is important. And also, not even that, like, I will tell people that I'm an accountant day to day, and, you know, maybe 8 out of 10 times they'll say, oh, you're an accountant, but are you a CPA? And I'm able to say yes. And I love that I'm able to say yes, because I just remember all that hard work that I put in back in my 20s that is really paying off. And I can say, yeah, I am a CPA. That's right. Don't ask me a tax question.
That would be very encouraging for candidates listening in who are currently in the trenches and going through it right now and studying hard, putting all the hours in. And, you know, do you guys have any advice or words of encouragement you want to give to those listeners out there?
I mean, first of all, hands down, this is worth it. I know Sarah and I both know what you're going through. It wasn't an easy process for me. I had to work incredibly hard. I would say, you know, be a little selfish, actually. Like, you know, it's okay to take this time and carve it out.
Right.
Find friends that maybe want to study with you. Like, luckily Sarah and I, we weren't even in the same state, but we could still call each other as support. And I don't know, Sarah, did you have study groups that you met with people, or cause you had a lot of people around you studying at the same time, right?
Yeah, I didn't. But again, my husband was taking it at the same time. Yeah. So it did help. We both would just go to the library on the weekends and hunker down. But I guess to your point, Jessica, I mean, I don't think there's any shortcuts to this exam. There's no magic, you know, simplified studying method. You just have to put in the work, and it kind of stinks, and you know, you just have to do it, and you have to explain to your friends, listen, can't go to that happy hour, I can't do this, you know, but I'm putting in the time and I'm putting in the effort to make sure that I meet my goal of becoming a CPA.
Right. And Jess, as someone now who's on the other side of the exam, working and helping to develop it, would you say there's more resources available today for candidates than maybe there were however many years ago when you guys were studying for it?
Now we have what's called the blueprint, which each section of the exam has. It's on our website that gives you task statements to help you study for the exam. It's not just content. It's actually like task statements relating to accounting. So that would be incredibly helpful for anyone currently studying for the exam. We have a great sample test out there that you should check out as well. It's on our website. Gives you a little more insight on what to look for on the exam, what you'll see. And there's a tutorial with that. And then also, I know, Lauren, you're heavily involved with the social media outlets involved related to the accounting or to the CPA exam. So
definitely. Yeah. So, you know, follow us on all of our social channels. That's where you'll get the latest information. And candidates are on there having daily conversations, discussions, and words of encouragement with each other.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So, anything else you guys want to add before we wrap up?
I would just say good luck to everybody. Thank you for listening. You know, Sarah and I have a special story. We've really known each other for a long time, and we still call each other related to accounting and, you know, talk about past stories. So know that this is just a little, you know, little short bit of time in your whole life, but that it's worth it. Sarah, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Absolutely.
Else.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, it's worth it. It's hard work. Put it in. If you can find a friend, like I found Jessica, to help you through it, or a study group, where you're all going through it, I think it's so encouraging and helpful to have people that are going through it with you at the time you're taking it.
Some very positive words to end on. Well, Jess, Sarah, we really appreciate you guys talking to us today. And thank you so much, and catch us on our next episode. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Next Stop CPA. Got an idea for an upcoming episode topic, or just want to let us know what you think of the podcast? Share your thoughts with us at nextstopcpa@aicpa-cima.com. And don't forget to visit aicpa.org/CPA exam for the latest exam info.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered, and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.